All right, he's gone, folks, but he's not forgotten.
I can assure you that the hunt for bin Laden is very much at the top of CIA's priority list.
As far as we know, al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden were part of the early briefings for George W. Bush when he took office back in 2000. After 9/11, of course, Osama bin Laden was a household name, and certainly the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden and the search for him will be part of the briefing for the new president, Barack Obama. Joining us to add a page to what we're calling America's briefing book is Robert Baer, former CIA officer and the author of The Devil We Know, Dealing with the New Iranian Superpower. Of course, Osama bin Laden has been known for two decades, and Robert Baer has been a part of that search. Robert, thanks for being on the program.
It's great to be here.
First of all, is the new president likely to get a briefing specifically on Osama bin Laden and the status of the search for al-Qaeda?
No doubt. That was the top of the agenda. If he should strike in the next 6 months, that will become the new president's agenda, Obama's agenda. He cannot ignore this. And his first question is, where is he and how do we find him?
And what's the answer to that question, if there is one?
We have no idea.
But what is believed at this point, Bob?
Well, you know, frankly, a couple months ago, I called all my former CIA colleagues who have been on his track, and half assumed that he was dead and half assumed that he was still alive, living somewhere in the mountains of Pakistan. But, of course, the key word is assumed. And I asked them, I said, he hasn't been up in the air, no intercept, no defector that's come out and told us about where he was, where he was going. And they said, absolutely not. We have no idea. He has disappeared completely.
So I guess I'm wondering if one of the options that Barack Obama will be dealing with as he's briefed on, you know, what to do now would be just ignoring Osama bin Laden in the sense that the search for him certainly elevated his profile and may have done al-Qaeda some favors. Is it possible to be vigilant about an attack but lower the profile of Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda?
I think what he's got to do is actually raise the profile for several reasons. One is he can reconcentrate the war on al-Qaeda, taking attention away from Iraq, shift troops from Iraq to Afghanistan, and it's a prophylactic against a future attack, because there probably will be one, a Seoul suicide bomber in New York, London, somewhere like that, and he can turn to the American people and say, look, I've been on this, guys, I've revitalized this search, and he'll be safe if he does that. If he says, listen, the guy is irrelevant, and he hasn't made an attack, bin Laden, in years, a major attack. He's irrelevant. I'm pulling out of both Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a huge risk, and he'd probably suffer for it.
Then how is that handled then? Because everything now is al-Qaeda.
I think there's no way he can back away from this, Obama. There's no way, and that's why he's got to get into Kabul, change the government, reconcile with a part of the Taliban, make it, cover this up. And he can never give up, whether we are convinced he's dead or not, he can never give up the hunt for bin Laden. He cannot afford it politically, even though in his heart he knows it's a waste of people and money.
Okay, so if there's uncertainty about whether or not Osama bin Laden is alive or not, what is the state of al-Qaeda? What would you brief the future president on that issue?
It's in total disarray. It's probably a dead movement. By now, we should have heard from Osama bin Laden, at least a tape. There should have been an attack somewhere in Europe to prove that he's still there. They've been unable to mount this attack. The attack on the hotel in Pakistan and Islamabad several months ago is probably more likely related to the civil war in Pakistan rather than to bin Laden. So, from an intelligence perspective, the man is irrelevant. He is not a threat to the United States.
And certainly you have moved on from a focus on al-Qaeda. Your latest book is about Iran and dealing with the higher profile and the benefits that Iran has had as a result of the Iraq War. Is it possible that Iran is an ally against al-Qaeda in the early going here?
Well, I think it's already an ally. I mean, they supported our invasion of Afghanistan in October 2001. They were delighted when we removed Saddam. And they've helped with the surge in Iraq. They do not want Baghdad turned over to Sunni extremists, al-Qaeda. You know, the South has been relatively quiet. They helped in the deployment of troops into Basra and the other Shia areas in the South. We want the same thing in Iraq. We want the same thing in Afghanistan. And it's, you know, if you can boil it down to anything, it's the war on al-Qaeda.
What about allegations by U.S. officials that Iranians are arming some of the militants in Iraq?
I think they probably are arming them, but I wouldn't describe them as militants. I would describe them as simply Shia militias, or the Shia military as well that they'll arm one day, simply to defend the Shia community. The Shia community in Iraq has been the victim of al-Qaeda, and they have an obligation, at least a sectarian obligation, to protect the Shia of Iraq. It comes with the turf, arming militias in Iraq. I mean, we're arming the Sunnis in Anbar province.
Right, and of course, Iran borders Iraq, so it's in their interest to sort of maintain some presence there. But I guess, does that argue possibly for a regional alliance between the United States and Iran that could actually end up achieving the goals that George W. Bush imagined from an alliance with the Iraqi government, that this Iranian superpower in the region all of a sudden has the capability of increasing security for the nations of that region and reducing terrorism around the world?
Oh, I think it absolutely does. The Iranians haven't participated in a terrorist attack against the United States since 1996 in Khobar, Saudi Arabia. But it's remarkable in these 12 years that they've backed off terrorism, and they're a much more conventional power. And they've never stopped pumping oil ever since the revolution. They're a secure source of oil. They've avoided a conflict with our troops in the Gulf, with our carrier groups.
And they have a presidential campaign coming up. Ahmadinejad is actually running for his office. So over the next 12 months, the situation with Iran could get very, very interesting. Robert Baer, thanks so much for joining us.
Great being here. Thanks.
Robert Baer is the author of The Devil We Know, Dealing with the New Iranian Superpower. He has 20 years of experience with the CIA, and he joined us from Berkeley, California.
We're always on at The Takeaway, and here's your takeaway.
The approval ratings for Mr. Medvedev and Prime Minister Putin are extremely high. It's the stuff that George W. Bush could only dream of.
That's Stephen Eek, BBC Russian Affairs Analyst for the BBC World Service. And we're also talking jobs on The Takeaway. We're posing a challenge to you. We can't promise you a job, but we can promise you your story will get on the show. What's the most daring or unusual thing you've ever done to get a job? How far have you gone? Give us your stories at 8778-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org.
Yeah, if you've gone that far, I know what you're thinking. If you've gone that far, we still want to hear about it. Yeah, send us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And take our podcast to go every morning. You can subscribe to all the things you may have missed on the program at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes.
Let's talk about Bob Baer for a second.
Really?
What did you say to him when we started the interview?
Oh, I said I was expecting George Clooney.
And you said that
this
because...
guy. Who's this guy? Because he's the inspiration for Syriana,
the
and
movie.
George Clooney
exactly.
And Bob Baer are actually good buddies because Clooney is such a policy wonk. He loves spooks. Loves spooks. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.